Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your host, Erica.
And I'm Ziva.
And today's episode recap we are doing is one of those famous ones that we remember, the freezer. It's episode 29 of season one. We're working our way towards the end. And this one aired April 28th, 1952. Of course, directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. Actually filmed March 21st, 1952. The synopsis is pretty easy, I think, pretty short. Hoping to save some money, Lucy and Ethel purchase a walk-in freezer, as one does, as well as the meat to fill it. And now they need to figure out how they're going to hide this purchase from their husbands. And the purchase being both the freezer and the amount of meat they eventually purchase.
The amount
of meat. So yeah, this will be fun. It has a few guest stars, some that we recognize. We'll get to it. But this is actually the first episode to give Desi Arnaz executive producer credit. So that's kind of cool.
He was like, I get to help produce this. Let's freeze my wife. Episode was partially based on Selling Dresses, which was episode 90 of My Favorite Husband. It was broadcasted January 6, 1950. I found this really interesting. You can find the whole script for this episode in Jess Oppenheimer's book. That's Laughs, Luck, and Lucy. So go get it and read it.
Yeah, I think that one was written by his son, Greg. So this is one of those episodes that has like a famous thing that you remember, which is, of course, the icicles coming off of her face because she's in the freezer. Yeah, this one kind of stands out and people remember it a lot.
And they had originally thought to do like a get her like a just an at home freezer. Mm-hmm. So what suggests to Ricky to buy. But once they realized, we want to freeze her. We want her frozen. They thought she can't fit in.
Yeah.
I'm sure she could have, but there was no reason for her to be hunkered down inside of those freezers.
It wouldn't be as funny because you'd have to imagine her falling in, and that's walking in is a little more realistic.
It's easier to,
I'm sure we'll get to it, but I'll just give you the tidbit of the freezer when we get to the freezer.
Yeah, so, I was like, let's wait, because I've got some depressing thoughts on that too.
Oh,
I bring everyone down today.
And so the show opens up. It opens up with her making breakfast, of course, scrambled eggs, no bacon. And she does not catch the toast this time from the toaster, as she so infamously does.
It just falls on the floor.
And she just dusts it up. Do you do the 5-second rule? Or you just don't care?
It depends. If it's at my house, I do.
Yeah.
If it's someone else's, I don't. Because I don't know how they keep their house.
That's true.
I guess if it's cleaner than my house, then I'm like, I don't know. My husband absolutely doesn't. He just throws it out. Ricky just starts complaining. Just right out. And then, I don't know if you noticed this. I mean, I'm sure you did because they mention it. But he just doesn't eat breakfast again. Which, like, I know. It's a TV show, right? But I'm still like, if you're making her get up, but if it's expected for her to get up and make you food, I feel like it should be expected of you to eat that food.
Yeah, it's pretty rude because breakfast is an effort. It really is.
Yeah.
And
do you put anything on your eggs?
Yeah.
They looked naked.
Well, he says they look naked because they're not dressed around with bacon. The bacon. Right. But I just
But I put
ketchup on mine. That's it.
Like a fried egg? You put ketchup
on a fried egg? No, scrambled. I assume he's eating scrambled eggs. Was it not scrambled eggs?
I think they were fried eggs.
Oh, okay. Then I do not put ketchup in my fried eggs.
I was like, I'm sure people do, but that would be weird. Thrown me. I put American cheese on my eggs.
And so he's upset because she doesn't have bacon, decorating his eggs. And he's kind of like, what's going on? And she says that bacon is 75 cents a pound. So she's trying to economize by not purchasing so much meat or cutting, where she can. So
there's no other place to cut back.
So right? on the diet. And so he points out, you know, sure you can, a hairdresser or, you know, outfits, clothing, things like that. Here's the thing. I've always heard of, you know, like an I Love Lucy and just things in the news, perhaps that, you know, what did you buy of clothing this month? Maybe because I'm not a big clothing person. You know how he's talking about allowance. You may cut down on the amount of clothes you buy, the amount of hair. Now hair, I understand, because hair can be very high maintenance, but do people purchase clothing every single month? Just like a habits type of thing?
It's like a wardrobe. And then that's it.
Yeah. And then maybe you get tired.
Like, if I really need something else, then like I'll get something else. But yeah, I don't buy clothes every month. So
yeah. So just kind of, anyway, just something that always stood out to me.
Maybe for my son.
Yeah.
I buy Apollo a lot of clothes, but.
So yeah. So she's saying, you know, I am economizing. He says, cut down on your stuff and not trying to starve me.
Of course, but it's always like her stuff, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's no way he could be cutting down. He never takes a lunch, so I'm assuming he eats out, right?
Yeah.
Could cut back there. But no, again, that's him. So,
but then he'd point out that he's the one working.
True. My money. And wait. Before we move on, I'm so sorry. Uh-huh. This is just my fun happiness. Facts. So, and I'm sure you probably, like, of course you would talk about this, but
I know
when he's complaining about his naked eggs, Lucy's putting salt on her grapefruit.
I did write that down.
yes, with the ivy shakers. And so I was like, well, another thing to add
to the collection,
to my collection that I don't have yet, but someday.
Yeah, it matches the plate set, which is infamous in this series, the ivy. Mm-hmm. Ivy leaves, and it's everything, right?
Because they have the ivy leaves, and they picked that specifically because it would stand out.
Yes, anyways, it was an ivy.
So the reason she doesn't give him bacon really is not because it's expensive, but because she wants him to buy her a freezer.
Well, yes,
and I know we've seen that before, where underlyingly she like will withhold the schedule. We've not done that, but when she's doing that, she like purposefully makes his food, you know, horrible. No time, you know. She wants this freezer, and I looked it up. The only
way they want to switch apartments, and she squishes everything in the center because
yes, as well. She puts all of Ricky's stuff everywhere. So little Ricky's. The only freezer that I could find like an actual price on was a 1955 freezer for the house, which was about $410. So,
and I did see, well, when we get to the bigger one, but the walk-in ones that are almost identical to one that she, you know, eventually walks into today on eBay, a used one is $5,000. For something that.
Because I mean,
those are meant for like 10, 15
butchers, right?
Or restaurants or butchers. Yeah.
And people that need that much.
Not your basement, so you can save money on bacon.
And what you have to assume, like, I guess we could talk about that. Well, we're talking about it now. So just skip ahead with us for a second, guys.
Yeah.
But like that freezer, even if they're saving money on purchasing it, right? The amount of electricity that she used to run it.
Yeah.
It's got to be astronomical.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of thinking that went into this purchase, but we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are. So he, of course, says no, right?
Yeah. Well, she tells him that there's an ulterior motive as to why she's not, like you said, by giving him the bacon. You know, there's a at-home freezer that, you know, she wants to get. And she makes the statement that, look, here it says it pays for itself. And he's like, as soon as it pays for itself, tell her to come over because they can't afford that it. They, you know, and it was funny. My husband was watching this episode with me and he's like, look how well-dressed he is. Very sharp. You can tell all of it is very expensive looking clothes, why can he never afford anything? Every time that she wants a washer, a dryer, he doesn't say, we'll put it on our credit card or whatever, you know, credit card meant back then, you know, on credit, or right. Let me figure it out, or let me take out a loan or something. But he just flat out says, no, we can't afford it, to everything. He says, you could cut down on those very expensive suits you're wearing.
Yes.
Much to your point.
Bring this up again. I'm going to jump to a different episode with the one where sales resistance, I believe it's called.
The vacuum cleaner.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. she buys a small handy thing for like $10 or something. He's like, we can't afford that. So then she buys a vacuum cleaner. That's but right. then of course, once he returns that, right? And she gets a new refrigerator, I think, out mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, so you obviously can't afford to do random purchases when it's on your terms, right?
Right.
Like when you,
yeah.
So if he wanted a freezer, I'm sure he could afford it.
That's but what I'm saying.
She
yeah.
wants it. You know, you're right.
It's just so funny that he points that out. Like, he's very well dressed. And every time she wants, and by the way,
a really good point.
Yeah. All the things that she wants are things to help for his things. So I want a new washer and dryer to wash your clothes. I want
you should have just started washing her own clothes.
I want a freezer to cook your meals. It's, you know, it's not like, yeah. Okay.
You're the one who wants the bacon. He's over there eating the grapefruit. She's happy.
Yeah, she is.
She doesn't need bacon.
And so he leaves and she's like, I'm gonna eat. Yeah. Because of course we can't go without an Ethel
comment about her eating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have anyone in your life who would do that?
Make a joke like come? That?
No.
Oh.
No, because I know I have people in my life that would do that. No, yeah. That would just come in and like start eating food that was out. Maybe not prepared food like that, because that's a prepared meal for someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think that I know people that would come and just yeah. eat, like, if there were cookies or brownies out that I had.
I know she
like,
doesn't listen, so... It's my mom. She would do something like that. She totally would. Yeah, I know. She totally would. I love her. God bless her. But yeah, she totally would. But what I wrote down here is, okay, I'm all for if someone leaves, like, I don't know, a muffin or I don't know, something else. But this is a fully, you can tell he cut in it. Someone was indulging in this meal and without even asking or figuring out, is the person coming back to eat? You're just sitting down to finish eating.
They got up and left. Obviously yeah. they're done.
Yeah. They don't care much about this place. Just anyway, but yeah, there's a joke there about Ethel eating. And just like he called it, she sits down to finish that meal.
Yes. Ethel comes in and they start discussing Lucy's angry. She's annoyed at Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
And so at first Ethel, like, you know, she goes to turn around and leave because she's like, if I wanted Grumpy or Frankie, I'd just stay downstairs. then Lucy explains, like, listen, it's because
I
want that. Ethel brings mm-hmm. up her uncle.
No, her uncle Oscar.
Oscar.
That's uncle close. Oscar. Now here's this part. Yeah, because she's saying, you know, but before that, she says, you know, I asked Fred for a freezer myself. And you want to know what he said? And I said, I'll tell you what I said. He comes in and like, please, there's ladies present, because he's about to say something offensive, I'm sure. And that's when she remembers Uncle Oscar. Now, what I love is that she randomly remembers perfectly that there's a one uncle that we've never heard of that nope. is not only closing his butcher business, right? His meat business, butcher business, but that has a freezer to sell,
to get rid of.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay. And I mean, to be fair, he doesn't even sell it to them. He gives it to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They just said, okay, let's call him, see what he wants for it. And he says that they can have it for free. They need to just spend
$50 for the installation and the
installation. Yeah. Exactly. So that's about $545 today, which seems like a lot.
Very, very, very quickly installed that thing.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, it exists in, you know what I did write now that I just said that? I wrote on the top of my notes, this is a rapid moving episode. Things move very quickly.
So quickly. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, so it, yeah, it's just the rapidness of this episode was funny because, yeah, again, my husband was watching it with me and he's like, whoa, are they going to show the installation? He thought the funny part was going to be that it's only $50, but then, you know, something else gets tacked on and then, you know, the water and then it doesn't fit. Or, you know, the funny parts would be in installing this freezer. No, it's already there.
It's already there. It's installed super quickly. Mm-hmm. And I love they go shopping while it's being installed.
The logic.
Because I was like, I'm so behind that logic. Like, I saved $20 here. Let's go use it at another.
Yeah. So that's that logic. And when she comes back in, she is wearing the Vita Benjamin dress. This is the first time we see it, because as we know, Lucy and Lucille Ball love to just reuse, and it's fun to see where it pops up again. So this is the first time that Lucy wears her famous Vita Meta Benjamin dress in the episode, and she wears it for the commercial in the next episode after this one. So just reuse it, and in fact, the dress was bought off a rack at a local clothing store. Years later, Lucy gave this dress to her friend Marion Strong Van Black, which of course those names are all familiar to us, to sew into dolls' clothes, which I love. That is great. Imagine those dolls. You think they preserve them? That would be really, really good.
Sure.
So they get the idea of, before going shopping on these dresses, by the way, we totally skipped the whole let's order meat scenario.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, which is the premise of this entire episode. So they said, since we're getting this freezer, let's, you know, fill it up with meat. So what I love is that she calls in and they're telling her that they sell this, I think 65 cents a pound or something like that, which is a bargain for meat. And she says, oh, you sell it by the side. And she looks over to Ethel for some sort of intelligence about meat sizes. And she says, you know, how big is a side of beef? By the way, that's a cow. You're asking, yeah, how big is the side of a cow? And Ethel's like, well, bacon is like this, which is the size of a pig. So she's like, oh, that's not too bad. Let's order two. So you're literally ordering an entire cow to be chopped up and, sorry, that sounded gruesome, but you know what I'm saying?
You know. all our vegetarians.
Yeah, all our vegans are like, we didn't like this. We're turning off this episode. Rated one star.
But so yes, they ordered that.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they couldn't have explained how much meat it was. Like,
really?
Because they wanted to sell all
get
of
it,
that.
Yeah, get it out there.
Pretty soon after they come back from buying their dresses, the beef comes. So again, they just have all of this ready. Mm-hmm. Two whole sides of meat, apparently.
And that was 700 pounds of it, which was $483 in 1952, yes. Which is the inflation. That's Ziva. What's the inflation?
I have it $5,269.42.
What a mess this became.
They should have just bought a little freezer.
Just gave him the bacon that morning.
Just give him the bacon. Yeah. So they try to, they're like, okay, listen, you have to take this back and just keep 30 pounds. I don't know why they couldn't have, they didn't open it, but they were like, we cannot take it back once it's been cut.
Yeah.
We can't take it back, which again is like, so you just cut all of that today? Like, but anyways.
Yeah, rapidness of this episode.
He was like, okay, let's try to put it all back together. And I love when he's like, look, ladies, even if he defrosted it, pasted it together and taught it to walk, I couldn't take it back.
That was a great line. And the delivery guy there is our own Bennett Green that we see show up. That's one of Desi's stand-in. We did a whole profile on him and Hazel Pierce, one of our episodes. Don't remember which number it is, but look up on our podcast.
Yeah, she shows up in the butcher shop.
So they're both there. So that was kind of cool. Yeah. So that was funny. They hand him all of the, and I love that she's, you know, they're panicking and freaking out over
the one side.
The one side. And he's like, okay, we're done. Now let's go get the other half. And it's like piling up. It's
oh. Right. But so between the sides, the first side had come up and Lucy's like, all right, let's try to sell some of this. 79 cents a pound. And so it's like, let's not, like, we shouldn't do that. And then he goes, okay, that's side one. Let's get the next side. And she goes, okay, what are we waiting for? Let's go sell. So I love how they do this. First of all, I love how she pulls out a stool. I was like, I should just carry a stool around in my stroller so that when Apollo goes and plays, I can just whoop, sit down on my stool. Anyways.
This is one of my favorite scenes in the series.
Oh, I love this scene.
Because who Lucy becomes is just...
I love it. It's so good.
Yeah. I mean, she becomes a carnival barker, essentially, is what she does. Yeah. And, you know, it's almost like just a whole other person that she becomes. So what she's doing is now they go inside to try and sell this beef. My question is,
why inside?
Why are you inside?
Just try to get them before they walk in the store.
The store is up this tight. The butchers can see you.
Right. You're right. I don't know how it took that long for him to get it. Maybe because they were busy.
Yeah, they were busy.
Like four people at the.
Yeah. Why are you inside, ma'am? But anyway, yeah. So they're trying to maneuver the customers to come over to them, to get some of this meat off their hands. I can't do a carnival barker voice. Yeah. Otherwise, I would.
We just need to stick it in there, maybe.
Maybe we can stick a little bit of it in there
because she just does it too good. And there's this one part where she's telling, this is after they sell their first bit, and she's talking to the second lady and describing how they can sell it so cheaply. Mm-hmm. And I just love, I don't even know what the first thing she says is, but then she's like, you know, we butcher it, we do the marketing, we do
Whatever, packaging, we do
everything but eat it for you.
79 cents a pound. Yeah, she says, I'm glad you asked that. This is all made possible because we do everything ourselves. We rope, we brand, we butcher, we market, we do everything but eat it for you. Yes. That's funny.
And behind Ethel, I just like product placement and stuff. And so they have this huge ad of meat, beef, something.
Oh, yes.
And I think it's interesting that they had to like blur out or like cover up the first part of it.
Yeah.
Cause I'm guessing it's probably, you know, a brand. And we see that today in these shows where you'll see a can and you'll be like, obviously that's Coke, but it doesn't say Coke, or obviously that's some brand, but they've changed it, the label, or just taken the label off because they don't have the free promotion or the permission
to do so.
Or they don't have the permission. Yeah. They don't do very well. I don't know if they go anywhere else.
Yeah. Maybe one or two,
but I'm guessing not.
Yeah. So the butcher, of course, finds them doing this. And he's not happy about it. And, you know, tells them to, of course, leave. Well, actually he doesn't even say anything. She freaks out and they leave. Pierce is one of the customers, which we know. Kay Wiley is the second customer. And then we have one of Lucy's friends also, Barbara Pepper, shows up in this episode. She was an old friend of Lucille Ball's and shows up a few times in I Love Lucy, just like when Hazel Pierce appears randomly, so does she. Oh, actually, it was the second of 9 episodes, to feature Barbara Pepper. Like I said, they were friends from their showgirl days and appeared in 6 films together, Barbara Pepper and her. She was one of Lucy's top choice to play Ethel, but her husband died tragically and Barbara took to drinking, which made it risky to employ her as a regular. So that's, you know, I guess she just brought her on from time to time. They get back to the freezer. This is where we first noticed the freezer and how massive it is in the basement.
Again, my question is, right, why didn't they just carry the carriage down? Like one person could hold one side and one person could hold the other, and they could have carried a lot more meat together and they could have not dropped it as much. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would have gotten rid of some of the physical comedy, but I feel like there could still be a good deal of physical comedy there. They're taking trips together
to put the meat back
to bring all the meat down into the freezer while they're down there. Ethel gets trapped. She's the first one actually to get trapped. That's when they realize that it locks from the outside.
And so they, say, had a chair that was holding it open. And so so she takes it to sit down and she just leaves her in there.
She just assumes Ethel had come out.
If you're claustrophobic, a scene like that just does something to your insides, because that
is... Are you claustrophobic?
I can be, but that just watching that just gave me the heebie-jeebies. Yeah. So the that scenario has been used quite a bit since I Love Lucy in various shows. I mean, I remember just off the top of my head, Monica from Friends, they put her in a freezer because she's a chef. And, you know, that sort of thing. And a comedy trope of getting locked into a walk-in freezer would be repeated in Car 54, Where Are You? Episode Boom, Boom, Boom. Season 1, Episode 14, where Officer Muldoon, played by Fred Gwynne, is investigating a crime at a butcher shop when his partner Toddy, Joe E. Ross, accidentally closes the door on him. So, I mean, it's not a, you know... a crazy concept. I mean, I'm sure it happened in real life, but after this, it was used quite a bit. So she freaks out and Ethel, of course, is frozen, really, really cold. They make sure to keep the keys there. Then they can hear the boys coming from the furnace pipe, which we've seen a few times, them using that furnace pipe to snoop in and listen to conversations or apartments.
Like an intercom, right?
Like an intercom, yeah.
Like they're gonna hear it so well. But they can hear that they're back and they're looking for Lucy and Ethel. So they decide, okay, we'll figure out what they want. And they run upstairs. Fred says that they ran into Uncle
Oscar.
Oscar.
Again, the coincidences here. You are
right.
Just...
I was like, do you see him often? Like,
where did you run into Uncle Oscar?
Just down the street, but they ran into Uncle Oscar. And then Uncle Oscar was like, yep, we sold it to your wife.
It's already installed and it's in your basement.
But the men think, you know what? This isn't really good business. So they bought 30 pounds of meat
to get them started. Have you ever seen that much meat in your whole life?
This is where Lucy's like, okay, in 1 second, she runs out of the room with Ethel and they discuss how they're going to hide the meat from men. All 700 pounds of it.
So bizarre.
Right? So she's like, just ask him to sing for you.
Yeah.
And Ethel's like, that's not going to work.
And I love this line.
I love the line. You take care of the ham and I'll take care of the beef.
I love that line. That is hilarious. Because, I mean, just the mention of singing, he's just like, oh.
You think I'm a good singer?
You want to hear me sing? Okay. Well, Fred's like, can we just go?
He's Fred's holding, not having it.
By the way, he's stuck holding this 30-pound package of meat. So I would be
frozen
kind of...
Frozen meat, right?
Frozen on meat, his lap, on his, I think. On his lap. Mm-hmm.
And, but when he picks it up, it definitely doesn't look like it's 30 pounds. Yeah. Like, he just, like, lifts up. You gotta work
effortlessly
on getting that.
Yeah.
But anyways,
Mama Inez?
Inez, mm-hmm. Yes.
It's the first and only time, yeah.
Nope. It's written in 1931, covered by artists like Xavier Cugart and Maurice Chevalier. That is exactly what I said.
He's known to our Lucy audience here, Maurice Chevalier.
Exactly what I said. And then he sings, you say it.
Cielito lindo, although I would love to hear you try doing that.
No, I already heard it. So.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So that's a very famous song. It's a beautiful song that he sings. He sings it later. I believe
it 5 times.
Yeah.
In this series.
Uh-huh. I can think of one where, do you remember where they're trying to do the club president and Mrs. Knickerbocker? They try to kind of take her to the club, take her out to dinner to get her vote for Lucy to be the club president. He sings this song to her. But it's a sweet song. So yeah, so because
the song that's the most sung other than Babaloo.
Oh, okay.
And I do like, before we move on to Lucy, were you going to say the let's vamos to El Frizo?
Oh, no, I didn't. Let's vamoso to El Frizo. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Vamoso. Mm-hmm. You got to add the O to everything, and that makes it Spanish.
Makes it Spanish.
So, we went through this with Q and Pals. We see Lucy running downstairs.
Yeah.
And unlocking it. And she, you know, I love how the audience, they know what's going to happen as soon as she puts that first load of meat into the furnace.
Oh, you know, I forgot to mention in the previous time when Ethel gets stuck in the freezer, you can clearly hear the an audience member go, oh my God, she's stuck. Oh, I love picking up on those things. Somebody goes, oh my God, she's stuck.
We also forgot to mention why the furnace is off.
Oh, the furnace is off. So it's
the reason that Fred comes upstairs.
That's right.
In the first place, yes. While they're eating breakfast. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know what? Don't expect any heat. Mm-hmm. I've just redone the bricks or something, or, you know, put the, and so it has to dry before I can turn on the heat.
Yeah.
So it might, you know, be a freezer in here before the night's through.
Right.
That's why it's off. And that is why Lucy assumes that it's a safe place to put it. Right. I guess.
Yes. Because there's no heat happening there.
Right. But still, but then of course it does because she gets frozen. So anyways, she's almost done. She's got it like completely packed, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait.
No, she's so starting to.
We see the first part of it. And then we go back up and we hear him sing the second song. And then we go back down. And so she's got it all packed. I love how she just throws one over the top of it.
Isn't it amazing that in the furnace, all you can hear is their apartment, not anyone else's apartment?
So she's getting really tired and she like kicks the chair out of the way because it's just in her way. It's exhausting. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, oh, get out of my way. Mm-hmm. I hate moving this. And of course, it shuts behind her. And so then she gets stuck in there. Now, we don't see how long, so he starts to see her freak out. And again, I say physical comedy, physical acting here.
So good.
Is great.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, the and everything.
Panic on her face. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it starts she starts to bang on the window, on the door. That's not helping at all because they're still singing upstairs. no one can hear what's happening. It's serendipitous that everything's happening so chaotically. Again, a very rapid episode. And so they're like, okay, let's just go downstairs. You know, let's just go. And so they go down to the basement and they're first impressed at the size of it, of how great it looks. And then they go over and that's when we see her pop up from the window and she's got all the icicles on her, the eyebrows are made of ice. She's got them falling in front of, you know, we'll of course post these photos. They're infamous and we've all seen them. But yeah, it's great makeup work for 1950s. You know, I'm sure today it would be like, whoa, my God, it looks like actual icicles. But yeah.
I just want to say that I looked up how quickly someone can get hypothermia.
No.
Because we're assuming, we don't know how long she was down there.
Yeah.
But we do know that walk-in freezers are kept at about negative 18 degrees. That's what they should be kept at. You can get hypothermia by, you know, not being in the elements, just being in the, like a walk-in freezer even. Mm-hmm. She didn't have on super thick clothes. So it wasn't like she was prepared to be in a freezer for a long time. Mm-hmm. And also one thing that can lead to hypothermia even quicker is strenuous activities.
Oh.
They can become, athletes can become dangerously overtired. They can lose heat more quickly and they will be damp from sweating. Now we have to assume that after moving 700 pounds downstairs, they went upstairs, had very little break. And then she ran back downstairs and moved all of that beef over that she's got to be sweating.
Overexertion.
So tired. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. And so I know this is a comedy, guys. I know. But I'm just, I'm over here to like play devil's advocate a little bit. Be like, she should have been in a lot worse shape.
Yeah.
Than she was. Mm-hmm. Physically, because she pops up, you know, she's in a heated blanket. But as soon as he turns the furnace on, which we're assuming happens quickly after she gets out, she runs, like she kind of shuffles, she's already like moving, which probably wouldn't have happened, but anyways.
Yeah.
So now, you know, I'm sure if I climbed into my fridge, I could just push the door and it would open.
It kind of reminds me of like the handle that they put in like in a trunk of a car, you know. They do that.
Ricky is telling her, you know, like don't jump. This is another really funny part, right? Because she's like copying him.
Right.
And he's like, no, don't jump.
No, you know,
don't cry, save your oxygen.
Right.
It's like, it it's funny, but it's also very serious.
Yeah.
That she could have ran out of oxygen in there. And if she hadn't have passed away from the cold, she could have passed away from the lack of oxygen.
Yeah, that was a very smart tip to put in there history. In case kids are watching that type of thing.
Listening, you know? Don't try to redo this. Mm-mm. Thankfully, walk-in freezers now also don't lock from the inside. There's a little button and you press that and you can go right out.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So that's nice. But Hal King is the makeup artist who did the icicles for I Love Lucy. So mm-hmm. that's fun. But so then you see, Ricky is trying to like tell her, save your energy. Mm-hmm. Fred runs upstairs because the key happens to be inside with Lucy.
Yes, to get out of there.
Yes, of course. So they had to try to get a crowbar. I think that for an airtight walk-in freezer, they opened it quite quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, but with a crowbar. It was very easily opened. Yes. Yeah.
But I guess that's good for her because they were able to. And of course, as soon as he walks in, she just like falls over. Gets all stiff.
I do love the next scene because I love a heated blanket. She has a heated blanket on her because she's trying to thaw out. Well, yeah. And so she's completely frozen. Would you, in that condition, assuming that you get to the level of frozen that she was, just go straight to the weighted blanket, stay home and try to thaw it out, or go to the doctor and make sure you're okay? Because that's kind of scary.
For sure, go to the doctor. And also, I think there's a thing about like shocking your body. So mm-hmm. if you go too warm too quickly.
I'm sure you've touched dry ice.
No,
you've
why
never
touched dry ice.
Well,
everyone says do not touch dry ice, so I don't touch it.
Well, I have touched dry ice, and I'm here to say that it does burn. It does feel
that's
sharp.
That's why you're not supposed
burn.
To touch it.
Well, let me. You want me to explain?
Sure, please do.
Anyone who lived in a poor community, mainly a Hispanic community, growing up, which I did, is very familiar with the paletero. That is the ice cream man, not the ice cream man in a van, but the ice cream man with the little cart and the wheels. Mm-hmm. And then when you stop him, right, there's no regulations that are, stopping him from telling you not to put your hand in the thing because the cart is equipped with dry ice for
you just
these
put
popsicles.
Your hand
so
in
he's like,
this
just
ice cream man's cart.
In the cart.
This is your cart. Let me put my hand in it.
Well, no, because he says, what popsicle do you want? And I want that one. So I just grab that one. And while you do that, your hand inadvertently touches dry ice. So that's my experience. It's not as an adult. I don't go around just,
imagine like stopping a
but it's that
and be like, here, I'm just going to go ahead and
just
help myself.
Just for childhood trauma. But this is where obviously it was that traumatic for me or that, stuck in my mind enough that I still remember something like that because I haven't touched it in ages. But yeah, it's pretty, pretty intense. That's what I imagine is happening here or supposed to be simulated to happen here. That's why I don't think you immediately go to a, hot. Yeah, I think you need to, be more careful with your body when you do something like that, when it goes into shock. Like, she's freezing. She's, teeth are knocking together and they want to get her soup, more warm soup. And so they get a smell of steak or barbecue or someone cooking.
It smells good.
Like, someone must be cooking. And Fred, where were you just at? Right. And he's like at the furnace, turning on the furnace, unplug me. Ah, because now you know what's happening. And then I didn't write down the line, but she tells them
grab a fork and knife and come to the biggest barbecue you've ever been to. Because yeah. imagine like 400 some dollars up in smoke, literally up in smoke. Ugh.
So much chaos in this episode. There's so much
so
chaos.
Much. They should have just bought the
darn walk-in freezer.
Small freezer.
I'm sorry, not the walk-in.
Small
just
family
the,
freezer.
Mm-hmm. Or just give him his bacon because he's not going to do it for you.
No.
But yeah, so that was that. That was the freezer.
The craziness that was that episode.
Yeah.
So I don't think we have any updates other than we're just going to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right? So like, I don't think there's anything big that we need to.
After you've, and when this has aired, at the point of this episode airing, you've probably already heard our George Reeves episode. So we would like some feedback on that. Yes. Tell us if you like those types of stories. I know we have one coming up with Bob Crane. And so we're looking forward to doing that. But yeah, if you haven't heard it yet, please listen to our George Reeves episode where we talk about the mystery surrounding his death. And we'll be doing stories like that from time to time. And if you guys like them, we'll do more. And if you don't, then we won't.
That's right. We'll do only a few of them. And we'll still probably do them, just less of them. We're on Having a Ball Pod at Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Having a Ball Podcast on Facebook, Having a Ball Podcast at gmail.com.
Or pod.
Pod. Having a Ball Pod at gmail.com. Or get it right. Having a Ball Pod at gmail.com. You can email us with any
suggestions.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you guys have like you like the mysteries and you have someone that you want us to look into, obviously we can't guarantee it, but if we like that and we have the time, then
yeah, we'll do that topic,
look into it. Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
that's it.
Thanks. All right. Guys,
thank you guys.
Bye.